So you just began transitioning to a new prison health provider to replace Corizon Health, who pulled out last year. It covers most of the state's inmate medical care. How is that going so far?
It's phenomenal what the Centurion has been able to do in a short period of time. The goal is to transfer all 41 of the facilities by the end of May, and they're well on their way to hiring the existing Corizon employees, but also they are a nationwide company, and they are looking nationally to backfill with doctors, nurses, and psychiatrists and psychologists. And those last two are key to stabilizing the inmate population and giving us a chance at rehabilitating an inmate.
So just off of that, I know an administrative law judge just rejected the other prison health provider Wexford's challenge to Centurion coming in. But are you guys still working well with Wexford right now?
We have a solid relationship with Wexford. From a corporate standpoint, Wexford has to do everything that they can to affect their bottom line and make sure that they position the company well, and I don't take offense to that. We were able to get Wexford a cost of living increase, so they're going to get a little bit of a pay increase this year for the increased services that we've asked them to do for us and the increase in costs for medicine and basic supplies. So no, Wexford and the department are doing just fine.
Speaking of challenges, I know that the Teamsters Union, which represents thousands of correctional officers, has an upcoming legal challenge stating that your agency can fire correctional officers without justification. Do you have anything to say to that?
Well, all we're doing is following state law. And the Teamsters tried to negotiate something that is in state law to give themselves an exemption. But quite frankly, to say that an individual that promotes does not go back on probation relative to their ability to do that new job doesn't make any sense to me. Because some people are really good at being a corrections officer and maybe might not be a very good supervisor. And we want to keep that individual but let them be a corrections officer again if they can't make the grade as a supervisor. To totally exempt that individual from scrutiny in a probationary period on promotion, I think, was unreasonable. And so what the legislature did was agree with the department, but more succinctly, the legislature said follow state statute.
So in the past, your agency started releasing correctional officer arrests regarding contraband, inmate abuse, but it looks like you're now releasing inmate on prison guard assaults as well?
We are. And it's something that we used to do years ago. But I think when we talk about how difficult the job is, how stressful, how dangerous, why wouldn't we also talk about the human toll on our staff and what we're doing to change the environment for our staff and the inmate? And to do that, we're not highlighting it, but we are posting these incidents. So again, in an era of the department being very transparent, I think it's important that the public know all sides to what is the correctional story. And this is a dangerous, difficult job. And I want to make sure that we're doing right by our officers.
And you just attended the Criminal Justice Reform Colloquium at Yale University, where you were joined by many criminal justice experts.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about how that was? Why did you go, and what did you talk about?
Right now, prison reform, prison justice reform, these discussions are happening all over the country. It has a lot to do with death penalty, no death penalty. It has to do with segregated housing, the use of solitary confinement, which we don't use that term in Florida, but we do have a small, very small cohort of people that are very dangerous. But the discussion is how best to interact with an inmate in that difficult situation and not just lock them up, but give them the tools in that segregated situation where they're by themselves to begin to modify their behavior and give them a chance to get out of there and not just lock them up and not give them any services. Florida doesn't do that, but again, I want to know what the national dialogue is, and I want to be able to be ready with information on what we do, how we do it, and if there's an idea out there that we should be embracing, what better way to do it than to sit down with the ACLU, sit down with people that are looking at all angles beyond just the crime and punishment piece, but the social aspect of incarceration. So I know where the future leads, and I can properly position the department.
So you've run this agency for more than a year now. What are some of the highlights? What are your challenges even moving forward, looking ahead?
I had the pleasure of meeting with all the wardens and with all of our chiefs, which are majors and colonels. And these are the leaders of tomorrow. And I'm challenging them to think about what we look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, because especially the majors and the colonels, they're the ones that are going to be here. I probably won't be here in 10 years. I will be happily retired somewhere, I hope. Getting them to step up and to engage. I use a term that's called loyal opposition and then unity of command. Getting my boots on the ground supervisors to acknowledge not only their responsibility, but giving them some authority in their environment to affect change and to be able to intercede with an officer, with an inmate, and make a change. And I'm talking positive change. I'm not talking punitive, because a lot of what we're talking about now in open discussions is how to use incentives with inmates and to incentivize behavior. And so it's the carrot stick idea. And I have been extremely pleased with the interaction with our employees are motivated, they're excited. And I, when I took this job, was very concerned that we push for change, but not for change's sake, and that we're doing things for the right reasons, and we justify what we do. And take segregation for an example. If an inmate attacks a corrections officer or attacks another inmate, we obviously have to segregate that individual, and we have policies and procedures to do that. But if you act out and push somebody, if you are disrespectful, if you use negative language, maybe we don't necessarily put that person in confinement. We find other ways to motivate. We're looking at tablets to encourage education. We're looking at transition programs, thinking for a change. And so incentivizing behavior as opposed to using just strictly discipline. We have individuals coming up through the chain of command with ideas like there's no tomorrow. It's exciting. And it's an exciting time. And I'm very good at what I do in a leadership role and in talking to the legislature. A year ago, I probably told you I've known nothing about prisons and don't know anything about running a prison, but I don't need to. I have a lot of people that know how to run a prison, and they're good at it. It's getting them motivated and giving them the authority to make change and reshape what we look like, and that's what we're doing, because we are doing a lot of good things, and it's not the old DOC. And we changed the name and we've changed the uniform to motivate people to think about how to do this differently, because 87% of the inmates that come into our custody go back to community. And so it's exciting time. It's exciting times for us.
All right. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.